Well, hello, hello, hello. Welcome to Ian's Place. My name is Ian, and this is my place, and I hope you feel very welcome here. I don't have guests. I have my callers as my guests, so I do welcome call-ins. So let me give you the numbers. For the U.S. and Canada, it's toll-free. It's 1-888-228-4494. Worldwide, toll-free, 1-877-489-6350. And direct line is 530-776-5154. So I welcome your calls. Until I get one, we're going to talk about love tonight. There's a great song out there by Tina Turner. And the title is, What's Love Got to Do with It? And that's such a great, great question. In my view, in my way of thinking, I would have to assume that love has everything to do with it. Love is a very powerful word. It's the glue that holds everything together. God did not hate everything into existence. I'm sure he didn't sarcastically or angrily create everything to an existence. God loved everything into existence. Love is an attitude. Grouchy is an attitude. Hate is an attitude. Bigotry is an attitude. Sarcasm is an attitude. A bad attitude is a bad attitude. Love is an attitude. Now, of all the attitudes that I have just named, love, grouchy, hate, sarcasm, bad attitude, or love again, which one fits you? How would you define yourself in one of those attitudes? If you had a choice to be one of those attitudes, if it was up to you, which one would you choose? Which one sounds the best? Which one feels the best? So let's get to an agreement here for a moment. Can we get to an agreement that love has no pain attached to it? Love has no pain attached to it. When we fall in love, we feel no pain. When we get that warm, fuzzy feeling, love, we feel no pain. After we get into an argument and then make up, in the makeup part, we feel love. Therefore, no pain. So when we are in those in love moments, we feel no pain. And we really strive as humanity, we really strive, and I do mean strive, to stay in the loving feeling. We read poetry, listen to love songs, soft music, watch movies that are warm fuzzies, listen to speakers whose main message is to love, love, love. Seems a little bit overboard, isn't it? Or is there something to the message of love, love, love? Here's the overboard part of love. We love being grouchy, hateful, sarcastic, having a bad attitude, and being bigots. We love doing that as a society. I can hear you little voices out there going, no. I'm not that way. I don't like being that way. I don't like being that way. And you'll say, I don't like being that way, but because of, and then you're going to shout out 100 reasons why you have those attitudes. And then you're going to say, well, I don't mean to say those nasty little passive-aggressive statements. They just kind of fall out of my mouth. And I say bingo to that, case in point. It is your mouth. You control what comes out of your mouth. And if you don't want to say those things, just don't open your mouth. There's nothing that does not serve you or the humanity when the stuff comes out of your mouth. The overboard part of love is that we only do what we love to do. If we didn't love doing what we're doing, then we would be doing something else. So we do love all those attitudes. Isn't it hard to be nice all the time? Have you ever found that to be true? We have to really work at being decent and nice to fellow humans. Have you found that to be true? I did in one part of my life. It can be so draining. Because being nice for most of us, it doesn't come naturally. We have been taught generation after generation and after generation to be sort of, kind of nice, but not really. You don't mean it. It's not a natural thing. It just doesn't come naturally. I'm not talking to everybody. I'm talking, you know, generality. Many, many of us have to work at being nice and with a loving attitude. Is that crazy or what? We go into a party or a meeting and you're going, you come home, you sit down, you frump on your couch, you go, God, I had to smile and talk nice all day long. It was so draining. It wasn't fun at all. What seems to be easier in our society is tearing someone down, talking behind their back, and making fun of them. That seems to be very easy in the whole picture of things. Think about this. If we didn't have the attitudes of grouchy, hateful, sarcasm, having a bad attitude, and being bigots, how would we act? What would we talk about? How would we define ourselves? Well, if we'd quit being grouchy, hateful, sarcastic, having a bad attitude, and being bigots, it seems that love would be all that is left. Isn't that amazing? Take away all the other attitudes and love is what's left. We would be in a state of love constantly. The warm, fuzzy feeling that we strive to stay in. What a concept. Isn't it amazing how we put out all this verbiage, these songs, the poetry, the warm, fuzzy feelings? Love is at the top of what we want to be. We want to be loving, but we don't act like it. You can't be loving and be grouchy at the same time. Doesn't mix. So if all the other attitudes were gone and love was the only thing that existed, what does it do? When we are in love, that's a thought, right? You're thinking loving. What happens with your thoughts? Well, we know that they coagulate into mass, into matter. Because what you think, you speak, and act towards happens. What you speak matters. It turns into mass right before your eyes. What you speak of coagulates into the physical right in front of your eyes. You experience your thoughts. So anyway, I'm going to give you another number. The numbers again, I would love for you to call in and talk about this. U.S. and Canada, 1-888-228-4494. Worldwide is 1-877-489-6350. And the direct line is 530-776-5154. So we all seem to know that we can only draw to ourselves what we are. So if we're grouchy, hateful, sarcastic, have a bad attitude, and continue being a bigot, you're going to create, we're going to create circumstances in front of us that says this is what you're thinking. So you're going to experience situations that are going to pop up in front of you because that's what you're thinking, that can, that will keep you being grouchy and hateful and sarcastic. You're going, well, I wouldn't be sarcastic if this didn't happen. I wouldn't be grouchy if this didn't happen. I wouldn't be hateful if those things didn't happen. I wouldn't have a bad attitude if these things would stop happening. They're not going to start happening until you change what you're thinking. You're doing it, we're doing it backwards. As long as you're grouchy and hateful and sarcastic, circumstances will shoot right in front of you on your palette, on your screen, that will keep you, you will be, see, how do I say this? You're, no matter what you think, it's going to be there because you are thinking it. You're looking at your thought process in front of you. It's gone into mass. So how do you change what you're seeing? You have to change what you're thinking. One simple word, love. And to embrace that thought, to feel that word, if you, once you stay in the loving feeling, and we all know how to get there, your physical reality, what you see in front of you, will change dramatically. Here, okay, let's do it this way. For 30 days, you're going to start learning to who you are. This is a test. For the next 30 days, you are going to be you. In the natural state, all these other grouchies and sarcasms and hate and bigotry, that's learned. We are naturally loving human beings. How do I know that? Because we strive to be loving. We'll read poetry. We read warm, fuzzy books. We go to warm, fuzzy movies. We want to love, 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 love. So that's how I know that that's our natural state of being. And everything else has been taught to us, generation after generation, lifetime after lifetime. And it's become easy for us. And our natural way of being is now has become hard. Because we've forgotten how to be that way. So for the next 30 days, let's talk about this. You get to be you, whoever you are, for the next 30 days. And you can't go looking for advice from any other person. No tarot cards, no runes, no psychics, no shrinks if you can get away with it, no pendulums, no astrology, nothing, just you. And pay attention, be conscious. That's what this is all about. Becoming conscious is learning how to know what's going on in your, being conscious of what's going on in your brain 24/7. That's what being consciousness is about. That's where the term comes from. And that's where all the metaphysical and the spiritual people say, we've got to rise to consciousness. You don't have to rise to consciousness. You just got to be conscious of what's going on inside your head. So, starting today, and I want you to call me next week, the week after, once you become conscious and you start changing your thought process, you don't go anywhere but to you to find out what you are going to do, because you're the bottom line anyway. You can go to all the psychics in the world and they're going to give you advice, but you're still going to do what you want to do. Right? I mean, that's the bottom line. If you follow their advice, then it's still you agreeing that this is your decision. They're not telling you what to do. Nobody can tell you what to do because you're the final bottom line. So anyway, so for the next 30 days, start checking in with you. Become conscious 24/7 of what's going on in your head. What are you thinking? If there's thoughts in there that don't serve you, get rid of them. A thought is a thought. And whatever you give energy to, emotion to, is going to appear in front of you. You're the painter of everything that you see in front of you. And if you want to be grouchy, then circumstances are going to come in front of you that will keep you a grouch. If you want to be a bigot, then circumstances are going to keep feeding your bigot thoughts. You're going to reflect. You're going to see what you're thinking. So here's the challenge. Try to be a loving person for 30 days. That means you can't be little people. You can't put them down. You can't be sarcastic. You can't be a bigot. You can't be hateful. You can't stand at the water cooler at your office and talk about people behind their back. You got to be nice for 30 days. I swear to God, some of you are already sweating out there. 30 days, I've got to be nice. Yes, you've got to be nice to the checkout clerk at the grocery store, the checkout clerk at the department store. You look people in their eyes. You make eye contact and send a message. Send this message. You don't have to say about it, speak, but just send it. I realize that you're another human being just trying to muddle through life as I am. To the best of our ability, I get that about you, because I get it about me. Just stare him in the eye and give him a big smile. Recently, I was in Connecticut, and we had to walk from the train to the office that we were going to visit. It was only a couple block walks. It was snow on the ground. It was very cold. And there was this moving van along the sidewalk that we were walking up, and they had all this cardboard laid out on the sidewalk so it wouldn't be slippery. But we had to walk over that, and the guy was trying to unload something, and we kind of took a two-step, and we walked over it. And I said, excuse me, I'm sorry, And he goes, not a problem. And I said, thanks for that. And then I don't know what he said, but he said something that caused me to keep walking forward, but to turn around and look at this gentleman, and our eyes connected, and we got it. We got that moment. That moment in time, that gentleman and I met at a soul level. We got it. It was such a great, great feeling that two people, me and somebody else, got that we respected each other, and we had a moment of connection. And in that moment of connection, we've all had them. I don't have to tell you what I'm talking about. So if we would go around for the next 30 days connecting with other people, strangers hopefully, and definitely the people around you, just look them in the eye. Say, I love you. And it's okay who we are. And in 30 days' time, what's going to happen is you are going to have, if you choose to, a profound change in how you see the world. It is a freeing, at least it was for me. It was the most freeing thing for me to start loving unconditionally. And so all we do is we draw to ourselves what we are. And if we are loving for the next 30 days, you are going to see a profound change in your physical reality. I have this friend / acquaintance, and I'm not being judgmental. I'm stating the fact. And if that's the way people want to be, that's fine with me. But she complains 24/7. And she wants to change her life. But what she continually does is just complain. And that's her thinking and speaking process. And she's been looking for a job for a very, very long time. And she doesn't get why she's not getting a job. She's very talented in her field. But she's not getting her... She's drawing to herself what she is. And her complaints are holding back her job. She's experiencing her speaking and thinking. So what I'm saying to you is, for 30 days, change your attitude into a loving, passionate, nice, warm, fuzzy. And I guarantee you, if you can stay with those thoughts 24/7, monitor, you got to monitor your thinking and your speaking, your physical reality will blossom in front of you, and you're going to get it. You're going to plant that seed of what's happening here. You're going to go, oh, 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 because you're going to start recognizing when it happens. And I want you to call me in 30 days. I want everybody who participates in this challenge, I want you to call me back. So which circumstances do you want to experience? Only your thought process will determine what circumstances show up in your physical reality. And when we have this bad attitude, this grouchy attitude, and this sarcastic attitude, people have to have that reflected back to them. Because that's who they are. So they have to keep seeing it. So what happens when you have a bad attitude, grouchy attitude, sarcastic attitude, is they actually stay in jobs that they hate. They'll complain about them, but they won't do anything about it. Until they've had enough. When you've had enough, you stop. People haven't had enough. They'll do it for years on end. They'll complain through the whole thing. But they've never had enough. It's just like eating. When you've eaten that last bite where you just can't eat another bite, you'll stop eating. Well, people who stay in their jobs, what they hate, until they get that last bite, they're going to stay in that job. And then that job is going to reflect back to them what they're thinking. And then they can complain some more, and it's a vicious circle. It just keeps going. It's like a mouse in a cage. Anyway, grouchy people, they stay in toxic relationships. So they have something to complain about. So their circumstances will show them what they're thinking, and it will continue on. Again, another mouse in a cage. They'll stay in the relationship, so they'll have something to complain. The circumstances will show up, so they have more to complain about. Until they've had enough, and then they finally would leave. Hopefully, they'll get out of that toxic relationship, but until they have the tools to fix that, they're just going to find another toxic relationship. People who have those attitudes, they'll sabotage their goals that they want to meet in their life. And because they're, again, the mouse in the cage. They keep on talking about how they're frustrated, everybody else's fault that your goal's not being met. Well, that guy did this, so that therefore I couldn't meet my goal, and that guy did that, therefore I couldn't meet my goal. So they blame everything around them. Those are the circumstances that they're bringing to themselves. They're the one that set it up. They're the ones that invited the guys into their sandbox to give them a bad time so they can blame them. They volunteered to come into your reality so you can blame them for not meeting your goal. That's the people that you're going to draw. You're going to draw the people to yourself so you can blame them. And they're volunteering to help you experience your thoughts. It doesn't bother them. So, our screen, what we see, reflects our thinking. So if you want to see differently on your screen what's in front of you, change your thinking. That is the simplicity. I can't get it any simpler. Change your thinking, and the circumstances in front of you will adjust to what you're thinking. You are in complete control of how you want your reality to look like. You want to see different things in your life? Change your thinking. There's nothing else to say about that. That's the simplisticness of it. You want to change your whole life? Change your thinking. So, I'm going to give out these phone numbers again. Hopefully somebody will call in. Hello. Okay, U.S. and Canada. 1-888-228-4494. World. 1-877-489-6350. Those are toll free. Direct line is 530-776-5154. Okay. So what is love? What is it? Some religions tell us that God loves unconditionally. And then tells us, about 100 different conditions we need to do before God loves us unconditionally. It's a total oxymoron. God does love us unconditionally. There's no greater love than the love of God. How do we prove that? Well, God loves us by allowing us any experience we choose to experience. Whatever we choose, God allows it. God only loves and allows. That's all God does. Pretty simple. What greater love could be than if some other human being looked at us and allowed us and loved us enough, no matter what we did, there was no judgment, there was no rolling of the eyes, nothing, just love. That is such a, what greater love could there be? I'm not sure too many human beings have made that. Yeshua didn't make it. Even though he preached about love and allowing, he turned over the tables in the church's courts, the money changers. That was not a loving. That was not allowing. Allowing is 100% allowing. It's tough to get there. Making a choice to change takes so much courage. Changing what you're doing in your daily life, going outside of your box, takes more courage than you have mustered up so far. You think about it. We think about it all the time. We think about change. God, I'd love to get out of these circumstances. We think about it constantly. We don't do anything about it. We don't even, when we're told, want to change your life, change your thinking. We can't even change our thinking for a week or a day or a month. We won't even go that far. We'll just continue talking about how we don't like our life and keep on regurgitating the same old shit, same old stuff every day so we can experience it every day. We don't even have the courage to change our thought process, because if we changed our thought process, the circumstances in front of us would change. We can't even fathom thinking differently. It's scary. But I'm here to tell you, you're in the womb. There's this thing within you and I that is screaming to the top of its lungs to start doing its thing. But it can't, because it's not going to override your thought process. That's called free will. And free will, unconditional free will, it'll stay in the closet for another 100 lifetimes before it would override what you want to experience. And you want to experience grouchiness, sarcasm. I've named them all. That's what you want to experience. Why? Because you're doing it. If you didn't want to experience that, you would be thinking somewhere else, something else. So anyway, the courage it takes to stop, to change what you've been thinking, and then allowing those circumstances to show up in your life, obviously it's pretty scary, because about 99.9999% of the population of the earth doesn't want to think that way. They can't. They don't. What? Think out of the box? Is there anything wrong with the way we're living now? No. There's no judgment. Just kind of pointing out a few things here. Stay where you are if that's what makes you happy. If it makes you happy being miserable, for God's sake, stay there. It doesn't have to be that way. You can get anything that you want. Anything, regardless of who is in your sandbox playing with you right now, you can change your whole sandbox. They will leave on a volunteer basis. They can't be in your presence when you change your thinking. I have chosen not to stay in the murk and the mire any longer. And they're going to look at you and you go, you're not going to stay in the murk and the mire anymore? You don't want to play this game anymore? We're out of here. Because they're still playing the Merck and the Meyer game. You have chosen not to. And that takes a lot of courage. But you will be rewarded for it. New friends will come into your sandbox that support your thought process. Oh, you're not in the murk and the mire anymore. Neither are we. Can we join you in your sandbox? Can we come and visit? And you're going to say, yes. Hello?
Oh. Hello?
Hello? This is Ian. What's on your mind?
Hi, this is Pat.
Hey, Pat.
I love this topic, and if you hear yourself in the background, it's because there's a little bit of a delay in what I'm listening. I'm sorry if that's...
Can you turn it down?
I'm looking for the... Wait. I'll put the mute. There's the mute. Okay. This is a wonderful topic, and, you know, the whole question of unconditional love has always been, you know, like, how do you unconditionally love someone who does something awful? Sort of thing.
Right.
Coincidentally, I just read an interview with Hillary Clinton from May 23rd, 1993. I had saved it all these years for some, little knowing she'd be running for president. But you know, it was right after they were Bill and she went into the White House. She was talking about her father, and I thought it was a really wonderful description of unconditional love. Would you like me to read that?
I would love to hear it.
Okay. He used to say all the time, I will always love you, but I won't always like what you do. And you know, as a child, I would come up with 900 hypotheses. I would always end up with something like, well, you mean if I murdered somebody and was in jail and you came to see me, you would still love me? And he would say, absolutely. I will always love you, but I would be deeply disappointed and I would not like what you did because it would have been wrong. The lesson Mrs. Clinton drew from this is one she says is at the core of her philosophy. It was so simplistic, but it was so helpful to me because, I mean, it gave me the basis of unconditional love that I think every child deserves to have. And one of our problems is that too many of our children don't have that. But it also gave me, from the very beginning, a set of values based on what I did.
Mm-hmm. That's very good. So you want to know the difference between not liking and unconditional love?
Between not liking and unconditional love?
Right. Is that what you're asking?
Yes, yes.
Okay. All right, now we're going to go. I was hoping we'd do this like 2 years from now. But since we're here, now, before I describe this, I'm putting out a disclaimer. I'm going to try to make a point, but in order to make that point, you got to think way outside the box. Do I hate murderers and wife beaters and child molesters and all that stuff? Yes. I think we should take every one of them and put them on some island somewhere, just like they did with Australia in the beginning. I want this to be a very loving community. I really do. We as a society, have created some rules. The Ten Commandments starting to be part of this. And now we've got, maybe a few million, 100 million on the books. But we've come up with these rules. That I had to live peacefully amongst ourselves. And I think if I had my druthers, anybody that molested a child, murders or whatever, I think we should just set up a place for them that they can continue in that drama. That's what they want to play. Okay, you guys go over here and play it and just let us be peaceful. Now, with that being said, how I look at life and how I have been taught and how I have accepted looking at life is that we are in a dream within a dream. And it's just like when you go to sleep at night and you dream, you never judge that dream, do you? You may assess it. Say, well, I had a dream and it was about this and about that, you know, I wonder what it means. But even when you say, I wonder what it means, you've never judged the dream. Can we conclude to that? Do you agree with that?
Yeah, good point.
Okay. So, in the whole big picture of things, we create our sandboxes, and God loves us unconditional. He will not even say, I disliked what you did, but I love you unconditionally. That does not come from God. It's just total unconditional love. The example that I was given, and it's a very harsh example, but I'm a history buff, and in reading in the history, I have a tendency to agree with this sample, that Hitler wanted to experience being a dictator. And when you're a dictator, you do really, quote-unquote, nasty things, vile things. But that's what dictators do. And he, on this lifetime, in that lifetime, wanted to experience being a dictator. That's what his sandbox was going to look like. And everybody, and please, God, I don't want any letters. I'm just telling you what I was explained to me and what kind of made some sense to me, and I'm still working through this. But everybody participated in helping Hitler become a dictator. Countries knew what he was doing for years and years and years. The U.S. knew what they were doing for years and years and years, and we did not stop him. It would have taken a single bullet to the head in the mid-30s, and all that game would have been over. But we didn't. No one stopped him because we were all participating in Hitler's dream. Everybody did. Nobody tried to stop him. We were all as guilty as he was, if you want to call it about guilt, for that part of our history to happen. And it's the same with somebody from who wants to be an Olympiad. There's this kid in Milwaukee, Wisconsin, dirt poor, wants to participate in the Olympics, and all of these people, because he's so passionate, he's so emotional, the emotion drives the dream. He's so passionate that he wants to become an Olympiad that he, his thought process starts manifesting in front of him. And as soon he gets to the Olympics and he wins the $1,000, the 1,000-yard dash. Why? Because he drove his sandbox to its epitome. Hitler did, and so did the kid that wanted to be in the Olympiad. The same thought process, the same emotion. It was just different experiences, and the whole world got behind Hitler. And thousands of people got behind this kid. It's the same thought process. And that's why there's no good or bad or evil. So what we're doing as a collective down here on this plane is we're going through our do not want list. And we're starting to experience our want list. This is what we want to experience. This is what we don't want to experience anymore. We don't want to experience hate. We don't want to experience bigotry. We don't want another Hitler. We don't want another Hussein. We don't want kids being molested. We don't want robberies. We don't. And we're making moves to make it not happen anymore. And how it's going to play out, I don't know. This is what I do know. All these little guys that are making for the power struggle, like Hussein and the guy in Iran and the people in Africa, all these little moguls that are going around, not moguls, excuse me, all these little dictators are going around making havoc on other people. This is the plane of experience. They are coming to their last throes. They know this is the last time to be able to experience war and hatred and bigotry on this plane. So they're getting that learning in right now. Because soon, we're going to be on, this is what we want experience. We only want to experience peace. We only want to experience love. We only want to experience the playground and the swings and the slides and the teeter-totters. We only want to make sure that everybody's fed in this world. We only want to know that there's not going to be flies sitting on some little child in India with their nose snotty. That's all ending. That's soon. But until then, we are all participating in this. And it's kind of like doing a video game. Let me just one more example. You know how you get into a video game and you're getting to one level and second level and the third level, and you go, dang, I got shot down. And then you put the game down, and you walk away not giving it a second thought. And that's what happens when we die and we go on the other side. We are done with the physical plane. We're done with its games, its head games, its hate games, its bigotry games. We're done. It's just like putting down a video game. We die, we put down the video game, we've washed our hands of it, we don't even think about it anymore. Our body's there, we're on the other side, in the peace and the loving of the other side. So God doesn't judge. He never says, I love you, I just didn't like what you said, because he allows everything. There's nothing that God does not allow, and we can prove it by everything that's been allowed up to this point on this plane.
So are you saying we should love what everyone does?
I am saying, words are so, you know, words are the, words really keep our, what we really feel and want to express. It's the most limiting thing that we've ever said. Yes, you love everybody. Do you have to participate? There you go. You don't have to participate. in their experience. If there's somebody within your life that you, that's not what I'm here about, you leave them. They leave your sandbox. You go back to your own sandbox. They're not allowed in because you've already said so. Does it mean you don't unconditionally love them? Do you mean, it's just, it's, you just love everybody, but you don't have to experience their sandbox with them. And that's what I'm saying about these child molesters and everything. God, I love you. But, you know, that's not our game here anymore. Our game is a peaceful existence. Now, if you want to continue that, no problem, but you're going over here because that's the rules. In the whole picture of things, what is it that rules, 51 to 50, what is that? Democracy? No, what is it? 51% rules, okay? So if we have a few hundred million people that don't want to play in that attitude again, and there's a couple hundred thousand people that still want to play that game, then we said, okay, we voted. We're moving you to another island. See you later. It's not about... we unconditionally love them enough to play their game. But they get to play it by themselves. We don't have to participate any longer. We're making a statement, and it's coming loud and clear. So, did I answer your question at all? It's kind of a tough question to answer, but go ahead if I didn't.
It's a tough answer, too, but it's good that you took the tough rather than the easy and not so accurate. So thank you.
Oh, you're welcome. How are you doing?
Good.
Yeah?
Great. Oh, yeah. I actually got on tonight almost at the beginning, so I'm very happy.
Oh, you got on. Pat had trouble last week getting onto the radio program. So any other questions?
I still don't see a play button on the Ian's Place page. So.
Really?
Yeah.
I saw it because I went to somebody else was on, and it said, now playing, and there was a little button right below that, a little play button, you know, like you see on CDs, players and stuff. And I saw that, and that's why I wrote what I wrote.
Well, that was on probably Windows Media Player. They'd already opened the Media Player.
Oh, I see. And you don't have Windows Media Player?
I do, but you have to open that first. It isn't on the website, per se.
Oh.
You have to first open the Media Player, like you mentioned on that list of... You can have Windows Media or Real One or Flash or QuickTime.
Okay, cool. Any other questions?
No, thank you very much.
Thanks for calling in, Pat. I really appreciate it. I love guests calling in. All right, we'll talk to you soon.
Okay, take care.
All right, be good.
Bye.
So, God loves 100% unconditionally. And then how do we measure up as humans? So the question becomes, do we as a society want to continue to be grouchy and hateful and sarcastic, have a bad attitude or be bigots, or do we want to start reflecting the unconditional love that God has modeled for us since the beginning of existence as we know it? I love the quote of Gandhi, and I wrote my little note today and I spelled Gandhi's name wrong, I'm sorry, but Gandhi has this great, great quote. I've used it many times, and I'll use it 100 times in the future. He says, we must become the change that we want to see in the world. We must become the change we want to see in the world. So my statement is, if we don't make the changes, who will? Who is brave enough? Who's going to take the challenge on to change their life to pure love? It's a process. It's going to take time to do it. Will you give it 30 days? 30 days. I see the average life is, 93,000 days? If you live to be, if there's 365 and 10 years, maybe 120,000 days in one person's lifetime. All I'm asking is for 30, for you to take a look at this. Change your thinking. It's going to change your whole life. All the greats tell you about it. Deepak. Well, all the greats in here, I'm drawing a blank, but they all say it. Wayne Dyer. They tell you over and over and over again. Change your thinking, change your life. And if your life's not changing, you haven't changed your thinking. I've been changing my thinking. I've been doing it for a whole week and my life hasn't changed yet. Keep changing. Give yourself 30 days, 30 measly, lousy days to stop. Because if you're not happy with your life, it's not doing what you want, it hasn't been your whole life, you've tried every tarot card, you've tried astrology, you've tried psychics, you've tried the Bible, you've tried everything. How are they working for you? I don't know how many classes you got to go to from all these gurus talking. They're telling you the same message over and over again. Has your life changed? What's going on? If it hasn't changed, there's something still going on. You think it might be the way you think? Maybe. Just maybe. That might be it. And then, on top of that, do you have the courage to act out the way that your changed thinking has become? I mean, you can think about it all you want. And then you can talk about it all you want. You can speak about it. Then there's the acting towards it. There's the kicker. Because people think about it, oh, I'd love to do this. I'd love to be that way. And they tell their friends, oh, if only I could be that way. Only, but they don't have the courage to act towards it. I have another friend. I have a lot of friends. He used to be my mentor. I think it's reversed now. Every word that he comes out of his mouth is frugal, save. We're going to Palm Springs this week to do free things. I'm going... You're backwards in your thinking. I know. No, you don't know. Because if you did, you'd change your thinking. You'd stop talking like that. You know better. This is somebody who knows better. And his life is reflecting his thinking. He knows it. He absolutely knows that his thought process is reflecting back to him, and he's heading for financial ruin, and that thought process is overriding any thought processing change that would change his going to financial ruin. And he knows better. I'm going, hello, who's in there? What are you doing with my friend? Because I've known him for years and years and years. In the beginning of our relationship, just a friendship, he was so unlimited thinking. He'd get into financial bind and fix it within a month or two. I'm talking severe financial, oh my God, what's going to happen to me kind of situations. And he'd do it. He'd fix them. He's worn himself down thinking financial ruin this time. And that will happen to him unless he gets an attitude change. And he knows it more than most. And I hope he's listening. You cannot think frugally and be unlimited. Does that sound like a little oxymoron to anybody out there? Step out of your box. Take it one step at a time. Take a deep breath, and I guarantee you, you step out of that box and take a deep breath, and you're going to look around you and go, oh, I'm still here. I'm okay. And you're going to touch yourself and pinch yourself. My God, I just did something outside of my normal thought process, and I am still here. Hallelujah. And then I want you to take a bigger step, and then a bigger step, and more courageous thought, and another courageous thought. Well, my time is up for the week. Thanks for listening. If any of you get brave enough to call in, I'd love for to hear. Thanks, Pat. But anyway, we'll see you next week. Please work on this 30-day thing just for 30 minimal, just a little bit, 30 days, and then call me and tell me how your life changed. I know you're going to call me. If you do it, you'll call me because you're going to tell me some wonderful stories. Until next week, this is Ian at Ian's Place. Talk to you later.